You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm Mike Rude, your host, and I have on the phone with me today the chairman of the Dakota County Board of Commissioners, Mike Slavik. Good morning, Chairman Slavik. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. As we get to what looks like might be a downswing on the COVID crisis, it sounds like that there are still some business that needs to be done. Specifically, in this segment, I'd like to talk a little bit about the $841 million that the federal government allocated to Minnesota that has been kind of held up in process. I understand that Governor Walz has authorized the release of those funds, and Chairman Slavik, I'd like you to talk a little bit about the money that Dakota County will be receiving as a result of that.
Well, great, thank you. Yeah, so the CARES Act was the what Congress, during the very beginning, back in March, went and authorized $2 trillion to go to address COVID-19. With that had a large chunk of money that was to go to local governments, counties, cities, townships. And cities and counties that were over 500,000 people got an automatic allocation. So the counties of Hennepin and Ramsey received over $200 million based on the formula, as an automatic chunk that went to those larger counties. And then the other 85 counties, all the cities and townships, the legislature had to figure out a way to allocate $841 million. So there was a lot of horse trading going back and forth. I'm sure those who were paying attention had seen that the legislature had, both Democrats, Republicans, House and Senate, had come up with a formula, not perfect, but better than what was on the table originally, to go in and allocate for the cities, townships, and counties that were not Hennepin and Ramsey. So of that, just to give kind of perspective on there, if Dakota County would, based on the same population formula that Ramsey and Hennepin got, Dakota County would have gotten about $78 million for COVID-19 based on those same formulae on there. And in the beginning of the special session, the conversations were still more around the low 30s for Dakota County. So the end result was $52 million. For Dakota County. So there was a lot of good negotiating. We worked very hard with our own legislative delegation to explain the cost of a county like Dakota. I think it's important to note with that, you know, we are the third largest county in terms of population, but we are also, the way the trends are going, looking to be the third most deaths of any county in with COVID-19. I think right now we are number four or five in terms of the number of positive cases, but our positive cases are increasing at a faster rate than they are in the other counties, particularly those that had some sort of a processing plant. Those had a lot of positive cases, not a lot of deaths, and ours have been more very similar to the whole state of Minnesota. So with $52 million that has to be allocated and spent by the end of November, there was a lot of planning that the county board has been working on figuring out some ways to do that. So some of the first things in there is our costs that have been related to public health, emergency services, and public safety have come in around a $26 million of that. So that will be some reimbursements that the federal government will give to Dakota County for its costs of public safety, emergency services, and public health. With that does give the remaining $26 million and what we should be doing with that. So here's a couple things that we are planning to do with that. We are planning to cover our emergency homeless shelter for the remainder of the year, not using our congregate care traveling churches that we've talked about in the past, but instead doing a hotel model that we already had a smaller version of. That's going to be close to about $1.5 million for just the homeless shelter that will be covered by the federal government for the year. We have some child care funding that will address some of our individuals who are trying to get back to work, and childcare has been one of the challenges, particularly if schools don't stay open. We are doing something that is the first of its kind in Minnesota. In fact, the county board on June 30th is intending to authorize this, and this is a COVID-19 testing in long-term care facilities. So as you're well aware, the long-term care facilities, group homes and nursing homes and assisted livings have been the brunt of the deaths within Dakota, or within not only Dakota County, but the state of Minnesota.
Right.
And with that, we've actually said that the state is kind of overwhelmed trying to do this statewide, that we are using some of our dollars to go and be more aggressive on testing in our facilities within Dakota County exclusively. So we will be authorizing a seven-figure contract to go in and do more testing in long-term care facilities, so not just testing when there's an outbreak, and I think I've shared this in the past, that we had one facility that has had over half of the deaths in Dakota County that did have an outbreak, and it was not one of those stories where people were transferred in. It was it all came in internal from staff and spread, and we want to make sure that we don't get to that point again where a facility loses a third of their residents and we have a huge outbreak. So we intend through the remainder of the year to do very aggressive testing in our own long-term care facilities in Dakota County.
All right, and is that testing going to then be conducted by the staff, or are you still using the National Guard for that?
So this is going to be a separate company. The National Guard is kind of who we've been using so far, and they're overwhelmed that they are not able to do this, so we hired a separate testing company, or we will be, with the contract approval. It's a company that will go in and do all the testing for us, and they are called Bluestone Physician Services. So there's who our contract will be with.
All right, and do you know what the approximate length of that contract will be?
So all of this has to be done through the end of the year. So that was one of the reasons the county board was still unsure. The legislature was going back and forth, and ultimately the governor had to make the decision on the CARES money. But the county board said, you know what, we got to do this regardless. We know we're going to get some money eventually. We had staff, because we've been getting the updates regularly on the nursing homes and long-term care facilities and what's been going on. And we made the decision that said, regardless of when we get the money, we know we'll get reimbursed for it. Go and start the process. So they went and did a request for proposals and got a couple companies to come up with a proposal to do this. And that's why we're taking action on June 30th, regardless of if we would have had CARES Act money or not. So that's the story behind that one.
Okay. And then the contract would have a start date. Are you going to get that going like July 1st, or what would be the proposed date for that?
July 1st, 2020 through December 31st, 2020 for $1 million.
What are some of the other uses that you're going to do
so
with that?
We have, so some of the other things that we're looking at doing with this is some of our rental eviction prevention programs, and then I would say the biggest one in here is going to be the small business grant program. So we're hearing a discussion somewhere in that $15 to $20 million, probably a program similar to what Deed currently has an open position for. So these are businesses that, as a result of the shutdowns, were impacted, and the cities received that. So did cities like the city of Hastings received $1.7 million that they'll be able to do some business relief, help support some of their costs for their law enforcement, as well as they might have some things like on an old city hall, they might have some ventilation issues that they might want to address, and with the spread of COVID and all that. So we have about a $10 to $15 million in there, and then our eviction rental assistance of about a $7 to $8 million as well for landlords and individuals that were not able to have their rent figured out. So those are just some of the things that we're working on. Some of them, we'll start the contracts beginning shortly, and then in the next month we'll be able to allocate the rest of that. So $52 million is a lot of money, but there's a lot of hurt, especially in our business community over the last 6 months, and how can we do our best to help out them?
The one question I had about the eviction prevention program, or dealing with evictions, who would initiate assistance with that? Is that something the renter would have to do, or the landlord, or either?
But it could be either. We don't have that. We have that as a concept, and we don't have that one all figured out yet. So these are just kind of our list of things that we don't have contracts. A lot of things we'll actually use vendors for. So and sometimes the vendor will be the community development agency of the county.
Right.
So for a lot of where we are going, because it's federal money, there's a lot of auditing and making sure the money is accountable, which is very much what you should do. That there are a couple, like with the business one, we're looking at hiring an outside vendor that will administer much of that money put on there. So a lot of what I think staff was looking at is more assistance on for the renter themselves, in the kind of going with the theory that if a tenant can pay the rent, therefore the landlord will get their money. So those are details in terms of that. I mean, I think there are some members of my of the county board who would much rather see more money go to businesses and make sure that we have businesses that can stay in business in Minnesota or in Dakota County. So I think that's still being figured out of what the process will be. These are just the staff recommendations on kind of where they would put some dollars to help with this.
Okay. And when we were doing pre-show prep for this, we kind of discussed a little bit about some other funding proposals that the commissioners will be dealing with. Can you go over those a little bit, or did we cover those already?
So those are pretty much with that, but I can talk a little bit of where we were going offline is, you know, what's going on as we kind of start our budget process. Some of these decisions will certainly make play a role in that, but I think one of the things to kind of make note is that where we've been able to go on, one of the things is that our transportation plans are going as scheduled for 2020. We've been able to get a mixture of some bids that were a little higher than we were anticipating and some bids that were very low. And but one of the things, so we are continuing our 2020 transportation plan as scheduled, and actually just had a recent conversation in terms of working on our 2021 and our 2022 transportation plans. Those are roughly $80 million a year transportation construction projects, and we had to basically make the decision as a board, do we continue to do those plans as scheduled, or do we go in and is that something we make some cuts to, because we had a couple open positions and we're on a hiring freeze, so we would have to fill some of those positions if we want to actually start and still do some of our construction in the next couple years. So we did go in and make recommendations to continue our transportation and road plan as was previously planned, because the money is in there to cover a lot of that stuff in there that we've had over the years. So so anybody looking for a job that likes to design roads and build roads, we're going to be hiring for them. So we continue to do that one. The one thing that we've had is we have put off a lot of our big building renovations that we were looking to do a lot of our office space, and because we don't know what the we don't know what will look like when people come back to work.
Right.
We've kind of put a hold on some of that, but the projects that were already underway, we have in Hastings, we have a kitchen and jail improvement for just under $500,000 to kind of improve some of the processes of things that go on at the jail, and that one was awarded. It's actually came in under budget, and they're way ahead of schedule because there haven't been people in their way. So the courts and the sheriff's office and the jail were able to get some pretty nice improvements while people haven't been in the building. So they've been able to just do a Monday through Friday and not have to close down sections and accommodate and move things around. So so some of those projects have stayed on budget, on track, if not actually earlier with that. And now we are just starting to look at our 2021 budget. We just had our workshop that kind of was conversations the board has had. We do very intentional on what do we want to hold off on given the unknown and uncertainties of the economy, and what things are we looking to kind of take advantage of good pricing in that for. So that was where the board went, and so we awarded a number of contracts on things that came in very favorable. We also went and are kind of holding back on a few things that the timing just doesn't quite feel right yet.
Yeah, and going back to the whole transportation thing too, we recently had a pretty decent rainstorm in Dakota County that washed out a number of roads. Have you been able to get around and see any of that, or you have any reports on that information?
Well, what I've seen has been all on social media so far. I actually, this afternoon, it's my intent to do a pretty much a road tour every week just to check conditions of roads, and I saw a lot of township roads that looked like they were washed out. I know late yesterday evening, the sheriff's department had to shut down a county road because of water going over the road, and we got a lot of water. We sure did, and you know our systems are not designed to hold that much, to get that much water that quick, and I will be out there. Maybe I'll take some pictures and send a couple your way just to show you what I got.
Sure.
But I intend to be out there this afternoon.
Yep. The reports that I heard that the rainfall amounts tended to be in the 3 to 4 inch range for the whole episode of that. And I have seen some pictures on social media already. There was one road down in the Douglas Township area where the culverts had basically almost washed away. The road surface itself, it was a dirt road, but it was gone, and all you could see were the pipes there, the culvert pipes. So there's a bit of work ahead of us, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's it seems like every couple of years that area gets some heavier waters, and a lot of that goes with the fact that for so many years there was more pasture down there, and there was more kind of tree lines, and a lot of those have been clear cut for bean and corn, and unfortunately you have a lot of water that doesn't stay on the land like it used to. And it's you know, you get storm events like this, and even storm events like this, you were never going to be able to get it to stay on the land, but you get even less of it that will now. And I think we've chatted a little bit that next year down there on County Road 91 in Meeseville, we have a big project happening, and 1,600 acres of land all drains into one culvert underneath Highway 61. Right by Wiederholtz Supper Club, and it used to be it didn't used to be as bad because, like I said, there was a lot of water that stayed on the land, and now pretty much all of it is bean and corn, and it just probably not as, I mean, can you imagine if this would have been like in April when there was no crops in the ground? At least that holds a little bit of it back, but there's a whole lot of water that flows into one spot. And I saw some pictures of people who were along that road, and the water is all the way up the ditches in those. So,
all right, Chairman, we've got just a few seconds left before the segment is up. So I would like to give you the opportunity for people to give your contact information in case people have questions, comments, or concerns.
Sure. They can either email me at mike.slavik@co.dakota.mn.us. Or call either my office at 438-4427 or my home at 437-4637. And whether that's just a comment, a compliment, or a complaint, we'll certainly see what I can do to help you.
All righty. As always, sir, it's good to have you on the show with us. You have been listening to Community In-Depth, and I want to thank the chairman of the Board of Commissioners for Dakota County, Mike Slavik, for coming or calling in today.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. This is Community In-Depth on KDWA Radio, AM 1460, FM 97.7.